This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bill Watson.
Welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God, and it's good to be with all of you again. Wanted to take just a moment to thank so many of you for allowing us to come into your home and spend the next half hour with you exploring some of the insights of God's Word. Today's program we hope you'll find rather interesting because the topic certainly does seem to be a topic of interest to so many today, especially in light of the most recent book series that was titled Left Behind. It seems many people have end times on their mind. As a matter of fact, evidence of the end times seems to be popping up as a topic in many areas that, well, just frankly, are not often considered to be the norms. As a matter of fact, here recently on my local news program, of all things, I saw a segment that was dedicated to exploring some of the natural disasters that have recently happened over the years, like tsunamis and hurricanes and so on, and the damage that they created, as though perhaps these natural disasters are some kind of communique from a higher being telling us that maybe we need to reconsider our ways. And if that wasn't enough, to my surprise and chagrin, the other day I was watching the Weather Channel, of all things, and they had a segment that they devoted titled something along the lines of It Could Happen Tomorrow. And they were, too, exploring different changes of weather patterns and how these natural disasters seem to be getting worse in the warming of the ocean down there in the Caribbean that could provide Class 5 hurricanes in the years to come that could be in the range of 200-mile-an-hour winds, kind of almost a takeoff of that movie that was done a few years back. If many of you will remember, I think it was titled The Day After Tomorrow, where it was kind of a disaster film. Some of you perhaps remember that program. But you know, throughout the history of mankind, we've all had, and we hear their names from time to time, the doomsayers of our history. Guys like Nostradamus and William Miller in 1844, a Christian's preacher who claimed that Jesus was going to return in October of that year. The Jehovah's Witnesses and their Watchtower Ministries, and of which purported and advanced the idea that Jesus was going to return to earth sometime around the turn of the 20th century in the early 1900s. Edgar Casey, a current clairvoyant, passed away now. However, he too received visions of the future and told people of the future of their lives personally. And of more modern times, Hal Lindsey, writer, commentator, author of a few books concerning the latter days and even a ministry from Jack Van Impe centered around and focused around end time scenarios. And even we here on the Armor of God, as many of you have known, we've taken a few runs at advancing some scenarios that have certainly illustrated and been well connected with your Bible indicating end times and the evidence of those end times. Do you know what is common among all of us who are trying to explain about the end time evidence that is all around us? It is the Bible, my friends. The Bible is the common underscoring evidence of future events and conditions of catastrophic proportions that is common to many of the scenarios that you hear. As a matter of fact, I don't know how many of you are aware of it. I think some of you are, but there's a whole book called the Book of Revelation, dedicated to outlining events of end-time catastrophic conditions that essentially are telling us that they are going to take down the temple of mankind. And many people don't realize it, but these are not the revelations of John the Apostle, but they are actually the revelations of Jesus Christ that John the Apostle was delegated and on behalf of Jesus Christ wrote down for our consideration. Look at this over here in the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 1. I want to take a moment here just to read this for you. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. That's right, the Apostle John, on behalf of Jesus Christ, was delegated and commissioned to write down three major things that he was commissioned to write in this book. These are the objectives, if you will, for the book of Revelation, and it's located right here in verse 2. Here it is. Who bore record, that's right, he bore record of the Word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, and all the things that he saw. Those three things, the Word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, and all the things that he saw. And even the fact remains, and I don't know how many also of you realize this or not as well, but he himself didn't understand some of the things that he wrote down. That's right, he was amazed. He wrote them down, but oftentimes he was as confused as some of us are concerning some of the things that we read and are trying to comprehend and understand in the book of Revelation. So the question that I have for us today, though, is, are these conditions, circumstances and events that are outlined in the book of Revelation significant for us today? And if they are, my friends, how are they significant? We're going to talk a little bit about that as we proceed through the rest of the program. But before we do, let me interrupt myself, as we normally do here on the Armor of God, to present to you our free offers. That's right, free. I emphasize again, free offers. We have nothing to sell here, my friends, on the Armor of God. All of our tapes, booklets, and articles are free for the asking. All you've got to do is dial 888-578-8791 and ask for these two free offers. In particular, on today's program, we have a one-hour tape that is conducted by Mr. Bronson James, Charles Gross, and Van Stinson, all three fellows on one tape. And the three are going back and forth in a give-and-take session titled Prophetic Hysteria. It's tremendous listening for all of you that will add some good balance to our perspectives on how we should consider prophecy and prophetic events in today's day and age. Along with that, a second offer, an article titled Evidence of the End Times. It will go through an outline of end time events and conditions that are cogent for today's understanding and for you as a person to be well aware of, especially in these changing times. Dial now, 888-578-8791, and don't forget about our website at www.cgi.org. There's a lot of additional material there for your perusal, for your consideration, and again, all free. And as a matter of fact, can even watch the Armor of God there. We've got probably a good half a dozen programs downloaded for your convenience and so that you can watch at a time that is perhaps a little bit more comfortable for you. Don't forget now, 888-578-8791 and www.cgi.org. Now, back to this question about significance. Are, in fact, the events listed in the book of Revelation significant for us today? Because let's face it, man has a history, a tremendously terrible history and legacy of violence. I mean, the fact of it is, and I don't think I'd get a debate from any of you, concerning the reality that man has been inhuman in some cases. He has been tremendously violent toward his own species over the centuries and millennia. I mean, we can look back and consider the empires that have come and gone, and we see nothing more than a legacy of vicious, just savage killings and murders and pillagings of all different sorts, conquering, dividing and conquering and destroying, and as I said, pillaging and raping empires and cultures time after time. As a matter of fact, it doesn't matter whether or not we've got helmets with horns and shields and spears dressed in animals' fur and essentially having leather shoes, or whether we're sitting behind the controls of an F-18 with a mask on our head, traveling at Mach 2 with missiles on our wings that when we press the red button, like on a video game, they're pre-programmed to go down the streets of whatever city happens to be the target, to go right through the window into the laps of a guy sitting perhaps in his bathtub with accuracy. And what I'm saying is it doesn't matter what generation, my friends, we're talking about, whether primitive or modern. The fact remains, mankind has been tremendously violent over the years. And so therefore, because we've had empires rising and falling all this time, it's no surprise that in a most recent Newsweek poll, 36% believe in the book of Revelation and the world is going to come to an end. That's right. However, look at this. 47% don't believe the book of Revelation and at best think it's metaphorical and do not believe the world will come to an end as we know it. So that puts only 36% in quite a perspective. Why is this? Why only 36% believe the book of Revelation and 47% don't believe it? Well, a lot of it is due simply to the skeptics and the secular scholars. They feed the, what you could say, arena of doubt. They feed the fact that there have always been chicken littles claiming that the sky is falling. Their attitude and their approach is, well, we've always had earthquakes in different places. There have always been weather cycles that have been disrupting the civilizations of mankind's world and sociologies of our life. Wars? They're commonplace. Civil wars have been conducted over and over again from countries throughout man's history. And World War I, a vicious, terrible war that was fought actually and literally in the trenches with stabbings and murders and killings over many years there in the early 1900s, not to mention the tremendous inhumane illustrations that were conducted in World War II throughout places like Auschwitz and Dachau, and that so often were used to illustrate the inhumanity to man of how those poor people were treated during those times. And disease, epidemics, pandemics, they come and they go. I mean, years ago, shucks, wasn't Europe almost completely wiped out? Financial disasters, kingdoms, they come and they go because of financial mismanagement. Empires, they rise and they fall. Great nations, why, they ascend and they crumble. I mean, everyone knows that over a time, fiduciary mismanagement of nations occurs over and over and over. And you know, it's funny, but the Bible illustrates its ability to even tell the future in this one segment here located in the second book of Peter. I want to share this with you. In chapter 3, the apostle writes, as though anticipating how the end time personality, the end time psychoses would be. He says here in this second book, chapter 3, of verse 3, he wrote, and we read, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Showing a bit of sarcasm, showing a bit of apathy and disbelief, because you know what? As I've said, the skeptics continue to pound the mantra, it's always been that way. Why, it's no different. And yet, the Bible talks about an end-time generation, my friends, that will indeed be surrounded by real evidence of end-time scenarios that, unfortunately, as your Bible portrays here in verse 10, where it says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Why that terminology? Why do you think Peter, in verse 10 of 2 Peter chapter 3, uses that terminology? Because the fact remains, most people living in the end times will doubt that it is the end times because of their unfamiliarity of the conditions that describe those end times, and it's going to catch them by surprise. That's right, my friends, it will catch them by surprise. But yet, you know, I can kind of understand a little bit of the common mind, in the common man, that is, because of the, what you could say, subjection we are to the skeptics. Because in some respects, the skeptics are right. We've always had doomsayers among us over the centuries, and for that matter, even over the millennia. But is this time any different? Is it time, my friends, to really begin to consider some of the circumstances, some of the conditions that are beginning to surround us, so that we can begin to recognize that, no, this time is different? And if this time is different, how is it different? Why is it different? What is so different about it that would cause us to begin to think about the fact that perhaps there is indeed something to consider above other times in the history of man? Well, as mentioned, in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John writes down a whole list of things here for our consideration of events over 22 chapters. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on those chapters in particular. I'll encourage all of you to go ahead and get the offer that we are offering on today's program, because, as I say, there's a lot more detail there for all of you to get into and to consider upon obtaining that material. But suffice it to say, in summary, and I want to hit some high points here to illustrate to you that these times that we're living in are indeed chock full of evidence about the fact that we are indeed in the end times. In particular, the book of Revelation and in chapter 6 illustrates point one that I want to cover in this particular, what you could say, discussion about evidence of the end time. In verse 8 of chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, we see a war that is described, and essentially it's a summary of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. This is the fourth horse, by the way. And what it does is it summarizes the impact and the effects of the first three horses, false prophets, wars, and famine and pestilence. And here in verse 8 it states, "And I looked, behold, a pale horse, his name, that sat on him was death and hell." That word comes from Hades, meaning the grave. It doesn't mean a place where you're tormented for all eternity. It just simply means death and the grave. Now look at this. "And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth." Now, my friends, I want you to take a moment to think about what I just read. What I just read was one-fourth of humankind, at today's numbers of 6 billion people on this planet, we're talking about 1.5 billion people are going to die in this war. That's what your Bible talks about. 1.5 billion are going to die, and this war is going to be followed immediately by a worldwide Christian martyrdom, which will be followed by great signs in the sky. These are tremendously global, impacting events that are going to be on a scope that is almost mind-boggling. And to put it in perspective for you, roughly numbers of around 50 to 75 million are what most think died in World War II total. So you can imagine here 1.5 billion at today's numbers dying. We're talking 15 times the amount of people dying in this particular war than died in all of World War II. And then in addition, if that weren't enough, there's a second war described in the book of Revelation some years later, where of the remaining 3/4 of the population of the planet, another 1/3, here in Revelation chapter 9 and in verse 18 we read, "By these three," that is the three being the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone, as mentioned in verse 17 preceding. In verse 18 of Revelation 9 again, "By these three was third part of man killed by the fire, by the smoke, and the brimstone which issued out of their mouths." Now, there's only 3/4 left from the first war, so this is 1/3 of that 3/4, which puts the numbers upwards again in today's bracket at 6 billion on this planet. Roughly about 3 billion people will die just between these two wars. Never before in the history of humankind are the weapons and technology available to allow for these kinds of conditions to occur. That's a point well taken, my friends, and a point you need to truly comprehend and consider. Because in addition, if that were enough, point two is that the participants are beginning to become apparent. That's right. The participants are beginning to be identifiable. In Daniel chapter 11, I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time, but in verses roughly around 40 through about 46 or so, you begin to see that there's a king of the north who comes into the Holy Lands, beats up on a king of the south who was pushing at the king of the north. And we understand that the king of the south in the historical patterns was that of Egypt, and in the historical patterns of the kingdom of the north turned out to be Syria that morphed into Rome. And these all fell out of the ancient Macedonian Greek Empire. But suffice it to say, this king of the north in modern times, a holy, resurrected Roman Empire, will move into the Holy Lands, pushing an Arab-related coalition of people out of that area and conquer the king of the south, taking over Egypt, Ethiopia, and Libya. You can read it there in Daniel 11. I'm not making these things up. Read it there for yourself. When he does successfully conquer that group and push them out, either they will, that is the king of the south, regroup and join up with the hordes of the northeast, because your Bible says when the king of the north moves into the Holy Lands and pushes that king of the south out, he's going to be bothered by saber rattling from the northeast, which puts that direction from the Holy Lands to be that of China and Russia and those areas northeast of the Holy Lands. And there's going to be, as pointed out here in the Bible, in chapter 9 of the book of Revelation, a 200 million man army that's going to come down from the area of the Euphrates. That's why I'm saying it's coming from the northeast to hit on this king of the north who will be in the Holy Lands. In addition to that, my friends, if that weren't enough, we are beginning to see a European Union beginning to ascend with its currency, the euro, attached to it, becoming greater in power and influence, and the United States at the same time in parallel beginning to decline in its geopolitical influence, along with its currency declining, the dollar. And as we speak today, nations are already, including OPEC, considering the fact of using the euro to buy oil, not the dollar, and begin to abandon the dollar of all things. And if that weren't enough, your Bible, number 4, is talking about the fact, that's right, the fact that there are going to be sacrifices that are taken away in the book of Daniel. You can read about that. Again, I don't have time to turn there. We'll put it up on your screen. You can read it later at your convenience, concerning the fact that those daily sacrifices are actually going to be taken away. And you can't take away something if it wasn't instituted. Point being here, again, from the Temple Mount Institute, I want to read a quote from last July of 2005, a Sanhedrin, a group that has been established in the early part of 2005, is going to establish a forum of architects, and I'm quoting this now, my friends, and engineers, whose goal will be to implement the decision so that detailed working plans are effectively brought to an operational stage. The Sanhedrin calls upon the Jewish people to contribute towards the acquisition of materials for the purpose of, look at this, rebuilding a holy temple. For the purpose of course, we know, the institution of sacrifices, of which, according to Daniel chapter 12, will be removed in the latter days prior to the return of Jesus Christ. And point number 5, and I've been hitting on it already in passing throughout, illustrating the fact that weapons of mass destruction, my friends, today now do in fact exist to afford much of what we're talking about here to occur. Never before in the history of humankind have conditions and circumstances have begun to coalesce and connect with the scenarios that your Bible is describing and outlining would define the end times, my friends. And that's why it's important for you to begin to recognize that war is on the horizon. A global conflict, my friends, is on the horizon. And there is a rising in the Middle East of a European Union throughout Europe that is developing in power and influence, with its currency gaining strength and the United States beginning to decline. There is talk about the rebuilding of a temple and the things that are associated with it, such as Jewish or animal sacrifices. And of course, the participants beginning to be identified, along with the fact that they're in control. My friends, they're in control of weapons of mass destruction, fully capable of killing billions of people throughout the world. My friends, you need to begin to truly watch world events and understand that there's no time to waste about being prepared and getting your life right with God. Stay with us for these few closing comments. Hopefully, God willing, we'll see you right back here next week.
With a presentation by Bill Watson today, he's put us on edge once again with the idea of the accumulated evidence of the time of the end, fast approaching. It's happening so rapidly that many of us are becoming concerned about where it will all end. And that's all right to speculate in that way or to be on guard. But Jesus Christ tells us this in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verse 32, "But of that day and that hour knows no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son," speaking of himself, "but the Father," and one passage has it, "but the Father only." He goes on to say, "Take you heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is." And yet there are people who speculate looking at world events, and you know they've been 100% wrong. They say, well, we may not get the hour, we may not get the day, but maybe we'll get close to the month. And in being 100% wrong, I would like to take what Jesus Christ says to heart. He says, watch and pray. In verse 37, he says, "And what I say unto you, I say unto all." I do believe all means all. Watch. That's a nice way of saying pay attention. And we'd like to assist you in paying attention by offering free material. We pay for the call. The material comes to you absolutely free. The cassette tape or the CD is entitled Prophetic Hysteria, and it was done by Charles Gross, Van Stinson, and myself. I believe you'll find it informative. It is an attempt to help you find balance, because when you receive the article written by Bill Watson, Evidence of the End Times, we want you to have a balance between the two concepts. Look at the information, watch, pay attention, but do not be pushed over the brink in fear and misapprehension. So make the toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791 or visit us on our website at www.cgi.org, or you can write at P.O. Box 2525 Tyler, Texas 75710, and you will obtain this free material. Till next time. I'm Bronson James for the Armor of God, reminding you, my friends, put on the whole armor of God that you will be able to stand in these evil days.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
Friends, we would like to invite you to our ongoing public Bible lecture series. On May 31st, Mr. Wayne Hendricks, and again on June 21st, Mr. Dwayne Nickel, will be at the Residence Inn by Marriott, located at 5 Barker Avenue in White Plains, New York. The meeting will begin at 1 p.m. No collections will be taken. Both men will be discussing present-day issues and their impact on the 21st century Christian. Bring a friend, and we'll see you there.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.